Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Nivamos Daf Tzadi Zayin. We're going to be beginning about 10-11 lines down from the Taf Tzadi Zayin Omer Aleph, where we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Echad ben Teisha Shana v'chulei. We said in the Mishnah that if a person is above the age of 9 years and one day, and even if they haven't reached yet the age of 20, but they don't have Shtei Saros, they don't have physiological development to be a Gadol, so then they have the halachic status of being a Katan. So the Gemara questions this and says, really? Up to 20, they're still considered a katan or minu. But we have another Mishnah in Nida where it tells us, Ben Esum Shana Shloi Vishtei Saros. If you have a 20-year-old boy that hasn't reached the age of physiological maturity, doesn't have Shtei Saros, then in that situation, Yoviu Raya Shu Ben Esrim, you have to bring proof that he's 20 years of age, Vuhu Hasaris, which we've explained previously, means that he has to have Simonim of a Saris. However, at this point, we're just saying he automatically becomes a Saris. This is the Hav Amino here, or this understanding of the Mishnah Nido. It's not like the Maskon, which I just told you. So right now we're learning that as soon as he hits 20 years of age, by definition, he becomes a Saris, even without Simoni of Saris. And therefore, lo cholis v'lo miyabed. And likewise, a girl, basesum shana shlo yivyeh shtei Saros, now we're dealing with the widow, Reuven's wife. Reuven passes away, and the widow, Rachel, she is now 20 years old, hasn't had the Shtei Saros of physiological maturity to prove she's a Gedola. So, if she has proof that she's 20 years old, via Rai, she has Asun, and automatically, via Eilidus. Now, again, we've explained previously the Maskana means she has to bring Simone Eilidus. But here now, in the Havamina, we're saying that both for the man and for the woman, just by hitting the age of 20, they automatically have the status of being a Gedola, the man being a Saris, and the woman being an Islandess, even though they don't have those Simonim, and therefore the woman too, lo choletz v'lo misebemes. So this seems to be contradictory to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah seems to say that they're still a katan at the age of 20 because they don't have the physiological maturity. Whereas the Mishnah Nida seems to suggest that they both are gedolim at the age of 20, even though they don't have the physiological maturity, because we assume them to be a Saris respectively and an Islandess respectively. So Gemara says, no, the answer that we've already given previously, Hoyet Marallah, we've already said this previously, that Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav, where Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says in the name of Rav, that the man has the simonim of a saris. That's why he goes out from being a katan to becoming a saris. And the woman, she has the simonim of an islandess, and that's why she goes out from being a katana to being an islandess. And Rava says, I'll show you that that's correct. Omar Rava daikanami. Look at the words of the Mishnah, Diktani. It says, Vihu has saris. And by the woman, it says, Vihi, or islandess. And therefore, that implies that they definitively had the simonim of being a saris, definitively had the simonim of being an islandess, and that's why they go after being a tana or a katan to becoming a gedola, a gadol, or a gedola, but as a saris or as an islandess. Shvamina, oh, that's a good riot. So therefore, there's no steer between the Mishnah Nida and our Mishnah. Finally, the Gemara concludes this beautiful parak with the following statement. B'chi lo du lo simoni saris an kama. And what happens if at the age of 20, you don't have the simonim of a saris, but you also never had the physiological maturity, so you remain a katan until you're 90 years old? So Gemara says, Ton de Reb Chiya, they learn the base mention of Reb Chiya, ad rov shino sov. They have this halachic status until they hit the half of their lives. You may still see him shivim shana, the average person lives 70 years, and therefore, when they reach the age of 35, it's a machlokes amongst the posts, whether it's 35 in one day or until they hit the 36th year. In any event, when they reach the majority of the expected lifespan of a person, 70 years, so then, at that point in time, we consider them to be a gadol or a gedola, even if they don't have the simonim of a saris or an islandess, and since they obviously don't have still physiological maturity, but at that point in time, we assume that they are a gadol. Now, they asked the following shaila to Rava. He also recommended to Rava. That's the gist that we have. The Gemara elsewhere, where this same Gemara is quoted, has it as Rabbi Chiya. In any event, they brought this shaila, Rashi explains, ben chav shalohivi. I'm dealing here with a 20-year-old that hasn't had the simonim, so what do you do at this point in time? He also commented to Rava, so he brought such a child in front of Rava, and Rava said there may be reasons, physiological reasons, why this child has not developed the Shtei Saros. And he said, it's possible, if he's a very weak child, in other words, very thin, he's emaciated, then Amar Luhu, go and say to him, Zilu Avrayu, going add some additional weight. Rashi says, Hechilu, go and feed him well, Bishku, and give him to drink, Achei Bari Vishomin, and he will get stronger and will gain some weight. And we know from medicine that, in fact, sometimes in a malnutrition state, a woman will lose a period, for example. They will lose objective status, normal physiological maturity because of malnutrition. So therefore, go and feed this person, and maybe that will cause the Shtei Saros to come out. Likewise, Vibari, if the child is morbidly obese, sometimes it can be hormonal issues that occur in that situation as well. So Amalun, so Rabbi would say to them, Zilu achashuhu, have him lose some weight. And therefore, these lack of pubic hairs that the boy or the girl has may be a physiological condition. So go and address it, try to heal the physiological condition. Dani Simonim, because these physical findings of having maturity, the shtei saros, zimnim denatre, sometimes they fall off, machmas kishisusa, because of malnutrition, they can fall out, or the zimnim denatre, sometimes they fall off, machmas biyusa, because of various problems that may be related to obesity, hormonal changes, etc. So therefore, if you want to make sure that it's true lack of physical maturity, go and either make the child that's emaciated feed them better, or if child that's overweight, go and have them lose some weight, and that may bring about the shtei saros to become evident. And in this way, we'll be able to determine the true status of the child. Now, the Rashi over here, where he writes, Ben Chav Shelo Hevi, Lemibdak Imishum Katnus Imishum Srisus, so this is a very difficult to understand Rashi in some ways, and many of the Mefarshim say that people misunderstand this Rashi, but we'll understand it the way the Aruch Lanier says to understand it, and it's two separate statements. Imishum Katnus, we'll see that, is this child a katan or not a katan because of the bringing forth of the two pubic hairs? And likewise, Imishum Srisus, sometimes you have simonim of saris, simonim of an islandess, but if you have two pubic hairs, those simonim don't count. So therefore, it's two separate statements, the Aruch Lanier says in Rashi. We check to see if the child is a katan, or we check to see if the child is a saros, both of them, by the production of the shtei saros, in a situation where they weren't present, we can physiologically bring them about by either feeding or causing the child to lose weight. In this situation, we can see the true status of the child. Hadron Alecha Isha Rabba, Hadron Alecha Isha Rabba, Hadron Alecha Ha'isha Rabba. Now we begin the 11th parak. And the 11th parak in Masechta Yevamos begins as follows. No sin, one is permitted to go and marry the relatives of a woman that he, Rachmanu Litzlan, had a inappropriate, illegal, unethical relationship with. For example, Alhu Anusa V'Ala Mafuta. If Rachmanu Litzlan, a man, either assaulted a woman, he raped her, or he seduced a woman, but he didn't marry her. So this woman is obviously not his wife, and at the same time, one might have thought that her relatives are forbidden to him, just like his wife's relatives, his wife's mother is forbidden to him, his wife's daughter is forbidden to him. One might have thought that the woman that he was either ma'anes or mafata, this anus or mafuta woman, one might have thought that her relatives should be forbidden to him as well. So the Mishnah is telling us, no sin, one is permitted to go and marry the relatives of the woman that he either assaulted or seduced. No sin, alhu anusa v'ala mafuta. As opposed to the other way around, ha'ones v'mafata, but if he married a woman and then he seduced or assaulted her mother or her daughter, for example, so he was ones mafata, the woman he was married to, in that situation, he is chayev. So the reverse of the ratio was he did a seduction and then he is permitted to marry those relatives. And the second statement over here is if he married the woman, so then he's not permitted to seduce or to assault her relatives. He will be over the arayas in that situation, besides the fact that he's obviously doing something wrong, he's being an onus of a father. Now, as she continues, says, no, say, Adam, a man is allowed to marry anusas aviv, umufutas aviv. So here it tells us that a man is permitted to go and marry his father's seducted woman or assaulted woman. Again, normally you'd not be allowed to marry your father's wife. If your father had a woman and marriage and he divorced his wife, the son would not be allowed to go and marry the father's wife. However, the father's anusa or mafuta, the child is permitted to go and marry. That's according to the Tanakhama. Anusa has been no, mafuta has been no. Likewise, if a woman was either assaulted or was seduced by your son, anusa has been no, mafuta has been no, the Tanakhama says you're allowed to go and marry that woman herself as well. That's the Tanakhama's opinion, that the seduction of either the father or the son has no impact upon you. You would be allowed to go and marry that woman. Review the disagrees. Review the oser, be anusas aviv, mufutas aviv. Review the says that the son would never be allowed to go marry a woman that his father had relations with, whether it was through assault or whether it was through seduction. The child would not be allowed to have relations with his father's anusa or mufuta, and the Gemara will explain this based upon psukim knaf aviv that we will discuss when we get to the Gemara. Gemara starts off and tells us, Tanid lahad, Tanu Rabbanan, our Mishnah has been more expanded upon in the following brisa. Our Mishnah reiterates what was said in this brisa, where it says, "Onas isha, if a man assaulted a woman, mutter lisa bita, nevertheless, he still would be allowed to go and marry the daughter." Again, we're not commenting here on about the legitimacy of the assault. We're dealing here with a pure halacha that is the daughter permitted to him or not. Obviously, if he assaulted a woman, it's horrible. We're not discussing that. We're saying, is that woman's daughter permitted to marry him or not? So the Gemara says, yes. Onas isha mutra lisa bita. He would be halachically allowed to go marry a daughter. Nasa isha. But if he married a woman, then obviously also lisa bita. Obviously, it's one of the arayas. He would not be allowed to go and marry her daughter. Or minu, the Gemara says, but wait a second. The following brisa says, hanitan min ha'isha. Hanitan, Rashi tells us, means hanechshad, the yotzal of kol. If a man is suspected of having relations with a woman, there's no proof to it, but everybody somehow suspects that he had relations with this woman. So the Braisa tells us, if a man is suspected of having relations with a woman, hanitan min isha, asur bi'ima uvivito uviachosa, he's not allowed to go and marry her mother, her daughter, or her sister. Now, the first brisa said that you're allowed to go and marry the relatives of the woman that you seduced. So here it says, even if it's only a suspicion, it's not even proof that you seduced her, you're not allowed to go and marry your relatives. So the two brisas seem to be at odds with each other. So Gemara says, the second brisa, which says you shouldn't go and marry the relatives of a woman that you're suspected of having relations with, midirabbanan, that's a dindirabbanan. As Rashi explains, it's a gzeira. Mishum gzeira, shem haliachar shiisavita. Let's say he goes and marries the daughter of this woman that he's accused of having relations with. So, in this situation, we're concerned that after the marriage to the daughter, he's going to be around his mother-in-law all the time, and they already have a suspected relationship. So, therefore, in this situation, we're concerned that that relationship might blossom again and return again, and that would be an absolute issa because he's married to a daughter, and therefore, that would be an absolutely forbidden relationship, and therefore, we make a xerium with Rabbanan, don't go and allow it. Where it says, well, wait a second, v'chol hecha d'ikri yisur mid Rabbanan, but wait a second, in the first brisa it said you're allowed to do this l'chatchila. So albeit that's talking about on a deraisa level, but when we say you're allowed to do this on a deraisa level and implying that you can do this l'chatchila, even though the other brisa says that you're not allowed to do this on a derabanan level, it's a very strange language to say that you're allowed to do this. Onas isha mutar lisabita, you're allowed to, that implies l'chatchila, but if there's a din derabanan, you certainly shouldn't do the l'chatchila. So it says no, that in our Mishnah, where it says Kitna Masnisin, where it says Nosin, Alu Anusav Alu Mafuta, that you're allowed to go and marry those relatives, that's dealing with the Yachad Misa, that means after her death. And therefore, there is no concern that she's around anymore and that she will re-enter your lives after you married her daughter, that she'll come back and be around at all the family simchas and all the family gatherings, and Rachmana Litzlan, the original seduction that you had with her could recur, and Rachmana Litzlan caused terrible problems. Okay. Mora says, how do we know this din, that the Anusa's relatives are permitted? You know how he mealy. So Gemara says, the Talmud Rabbanan in the following brisa, b'chula nemar shechiva. Normally, it uses the lashon of shechiva when it talks about somebody that you're not allowed to have relations with. But here, v'kan nemar kicha. Over here, in regards to the wife's relatives being forbidden, it uses b'davka, the lashon of kicha, which is the lashon of marriage, teaching us the following, lo melacha, derech likuchin osra Torah. It's only through marriage are you forbidden to her relatives, but if there was Rachmana Litzlan, a relationship outside of marriage through assault or seduction, you technically are permitted to those relatives. But the Gemara says, wait a second, I'm like Rapapa says to Abai, if that's so, if you're telling me anytime he's using Loshen Likuchin, it only means marriage, so then Elamayata, so Gaba Yachoso, in regards to the prohibition against having relations with your sister, the Siv, Isha Sheyikach Achoso, Basavim Vasimo, if you have relations called Kicha with your father's daughter, meaning your sister from your father, or bas imo, or the daughter from your mother, meaning a maternal sister. So it says, only asher yikach, hachanami derech kichu diasa, only if you married her, the marriage won't be chal. Derech shchiva shari, but that implies that it's only through marriage. It wouldn't be allowed. But just straightforward znus, that would be allowed, rachmana litzlan. So obviously, it doesn't make any sense. So how can you tell me that kicha only means through marriage, and it doesn't mean outside of marriage? So Abai gives the following terence. Amalei says, Likuchin kisivi betorah stam. Sometimes the Torah uses the lashon of likuchin stam, where it doesn't mean marriage, it means having relations with. So it depends. Haroi likicha kicha. If it's used in a situation where kedushin would be chal, so then it means specifically only kedushin, but not shriva, not through znus. But haroi l'shriva, shriva. But if it's only talking about a situation where there is no potential for kicha for marriage, so then l'kicha means shriva. It means just any relationship, any physical relationship is prohibited. That's the first source that we give, Minani Mili, for the din in our Mishnah. Rav Amar, Rav gives a different source for this din. He says, Onas Isha, if a man Rechmon Lassan assaulted a woman, Mutar Lisa Bita Mehacha. He says, here's where you see that her relatives, for example, her daughter, are permitted. From the following pasuk, the Ksiv, it says in the pasuk Ksiv, Ervas Bas Bincha, Uvas Bitcha Lo Sigaleh. It says that you're not allowed to go and uncover, to go and have relations with the granddaughter who is your son's daughter, or bas bitcho, or the granddaughter who is your daughter's daughter. Now, this pasuk tells us you can't have relations with your granddaughter through your son or through your daughter. They have another pasuk that says, ha bas bino dida, u bas bito dida gale. But that seems to imply that if it's your wife's granddaughter, now, it's not your granddaughter. Your wife had had children from another husband, and your wife's granddaughter, either through her son or through her daughter, that implies that that's permitted to you, because it says, Badafka, your granddaughter, implying that your wife's granddaughter, who's not your granddaughter, would be permitted. But then we have another puzzle, Siv, that says, Erevas Isha Ubita Lo Sigaleh. It says you're not allowed to go and have relations with your wife's progeny, even if it's not your own progeny. That includes Esbaz Binah, her granddaughter from her son, Esbaz Bita, her granddaughter from her daughter. Lo Sikach, you're not allowed to go take them. So these two psukim seem to be at odds with each other. So, Ha-Ketzad, how do you understand them? So the first one, Kan Ba'onsin, the first pasuk that tells us you are forbidden to your granddaughter, that's even though it's not a granddaughter through marriage, Kan Ba'onsin, that's dealing with you assaulted a woman, you had to marry her, and she had a child, either a boy or a girl, and that boy or girl had a daughter. So that's your assaulted woman's granddaughter. So the first pasuk tells me that she's forbidden to you as well, even though it's not your granddaughter through marriage. It's a granddaughter through an assault or through a seduction. And the second pasuk tells us, kan b'nisuin. Once you married a woman, so then even if she has a granddaughter that is not through you, but since you were married to her, any of her granddaughters are forbidden to you. One says, maybe let's flip it around. Eifel chano. As Tosfos explains, in the Ramasa, Eifel chano, the onsin yesh les or yoser. One might have mistakenly thought that through onsin we should even be stricter, kivin d'avad isura, since he did an iser, so there we forbid his granddaughter through the anusa relationship to him. Because it says, v'avra'al umol l'horizima, because he did something that's disgusting. He had relations out of marriage with a woman, and he filled the world with zima. Avol b'nisum, since he married her, d'lo avad isura, since there was no iser involved, one might have thought, and less so, Bekrova said, that her granddaughter, one might actually think is permitted to him, even though it's not his own granddaughter. So, therefore, one might have said, the epochana, let's flip it around. Somewhere says, no. Arayis share ksibu, because by arayis it says the word share, which implies through marriage. Benisuin ikos share, beonsin leko share. So only through marriage do you have share, do you have relatives. Through onsin, through this seduction or rape, you don't consider them to be share. So therefore, in this pasuk, the first pasuk is referring to onsin, and the second pasuk is referring to nisuin, like we said. Nothing where it says, we said in our Mishnah, Rav Yehuda Oser b'anusas av v'chulei. Rav Yehuda had said that if a man seduced a woman, his son would be forbidden to marry that woman. Where does he get this from? Amar Gidl Amar Rav, my time with Rav Yehuda. What's the reasoning behind Rav Yehuda? He disagrees with the Tanakhama. So the Gemara says, Dixiv, because the pasuk says, Lo yikach ishes eishes aviv. It says a man is not allowed to go take his father's wife. Lo yikach ishes eishes aviv. And then it adds, V'liyagala knaf aviv. And the second part of that pasuk, the same pasuk, the end of that pasuk says, and likewise, he shouldn't go and uncover knaf aviv. A woman that his father had relations with, he shouldn't have relations with her as well. Knaf, shiro aviv, lo yigala. This knaf, this uncovering that his father saw, so he shouldn't go and uncover it as well. In other words, you can't have relations, Rav Yehuda learns, with your father's woman that he seduced or assaulted. Now, umimai de banusa. How do we know that dealing with an anusa? Maybe it refers to only a married woman. So Gemara says, now the gears that we have is dechsiv, may you love you from the previous pasuk, but the Bach switches it around and says it should be may you love you dechsiv, because it says in the preceding pasuk the following. It tells us the penalty for seduction. It's a 50 shekel penalty. If the woman wishes to marry the man that seduced her, so then there's a 50 shekel penalty that the man has to pay to the father of the seduced girl. Now, it follows right after that about the knaf of it. So this, according to Rav Yehuda, is smuchin, and then we go and connect it to psukim to teach us that even if it was a seduction, the son is not allowed to be megala, the knaf of the woman that his father had seduced. No, why don't the Chacham hold that? Sounds like a very good drasha. The Rabbanim, what do they say? They say, you're right. If the two psukim that we just read, was immediately followed by the pasuk where it says, you'd be 100% right. They were directly connected to each other, kidamis, Rav Yehuda would be right. But now there's somewhat of a pasuk in between. Remember I said that lo yigale k'naf aviv was at the end of the pasuk. What about the beginning of the pasuk that interposes between the mefuta and lo yigale k'naf aviv? Hashtu de lo somekli, they're not directly connected because you have the pasuk lo yikach ishes eishes aviv in between. So therefore it's no longer smuchin. And therefore, miboy lechad Ravanon. Therefore, we need this to teach us the din of Ravanon. What did he say? Dabar Ravanon Omer Shmuel b'shomeris yavam shel aviv akosim v'daber. The pasuk is referring there when it says lo yikach ish es eshes aviv. That's referring to a woman that the father was waiting in Yibam to go and take. So you can't go and take such a woman. B'shomeris yavam shel aviv akosim v'daber. Amai knaf aviv. And what is it referred to when it says knaf aviv? Knaf haroi li aviv. Lo yigala. So the first part of the pasuk tells us lo yikach ish es eishes aviv. The man can never go and marry his father's wife. If his father passes away, a father divorces the woman, you can never marry her. And the second part of the pasuk lo yigala knaf aviv says even if it's a woman that was only a shomeres yavam to your father, you're not allowed to go and have marriage with. Even if your father never had relations with her, knaf haroy li aviv lo yigala. So that's the way the chachamim learned this. It's not smuchim because of the interposition over here lo yikach ish es eishes aviv. Ayur says, but this woman, the woman that is waiting even by your father, should be asked to you because it's your father's brother's wife. It's your aunt. So therefore, she's asked to you anyway. Why do we need a special pasuk to tell me to include her? She's already asked to you. So what it says, the terrors we often give in this situation, lav or lav, b'shnei lavim, to teach us that there are two lavim over here, not just one. Where it says, if that's the case, so then there's a third lav over here that she's not allowed to go and have marriage with anybody else while she's a Yavama. So therefore, there should be three lavim over here. So where it says, you're right. And the purpose of the pasuk is lav or lav shlosh lavim. There's three lavim over here. One, it's your father's Yavama. Number two, she's a Yavama that's a Surul Ashok. And number three, it's your uncle's wife, your aunt. And therefore, all three of these are lavim. Alternatively, everybody say ma li'achamisa. We're dealing over here after the father has passed away. So there's no longer the isser over here of a yavama to your father because Nebuch the father passed away. So you only have the two isserim, says she's forbidden lashok and that she's your uncle's wife, your aunt, and therefore there's only two lavim in this situation. We turn to Tzadi Zayin Omid Beis, and now we're going to have seven cases. And I have a handout here. I think it comes out as two handouts. The first one will have six cases on it, and the second handout will be the seventh case. The Gemara sounds like it's unbelievably complicated. And if you don't have some sort of a handout describing the actual illustrations over here, it is complicated. But Leonidas Dati, with the handout that I made, it is an extremely easy piece of Gemara because you'll visualize it and see very clearly what it's talking about. And basically, Rashi explains over here, the top Rashi, that this is talking about Mishalos Hain. These are just examples here, Urgilim B'nei Odom L'Omer. And they were like riddles that people would say, and they would sharpen the mind. And that's what Tosos says as well. In the top Tosos, Kol Eilu Amasim Lo Mashmin Loch Midi. They don't really teach us anything. Ela L'chash, the Tshuvos HaTzdukim, that you should be ready to answer at Tzduki if he were to go and ask you any of these riddles, so to say. In any event, we're going to have seven cases over here where we're going to have an unusual relationship. In most of them, there are illicit relationships that are involved, and that's why we'll see most of the time we describe them as an Ovid Kochavim who's involved, so we don't have to say that a Yid did all of these Issa relationships. You'll see what I mean in a second. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read the Gemara without really translating it, and then when the Gemara gives the answer, what it's talking about, we'll refer to my diagram and go back and explain what we're talking about. So the first case, the Gemara says, the first riddle is, you have one person speaking, which is a woman, and she says about a certain man how we are related to each other. And you'll see in my diagrams, I'll have a circle with a dot in it. That's the woman who is, so to say, speaking, asking the riddle or stating the riddle. And she's talking about a man who I'll have in a thatched box, and that's who she's talking about. And this relationship over here that we'll have, which is a strange relationship in all of these seven cases, that will be easy to understand when you realize it's the woman with the dot inside of the circle that's referring to this man, the thatched box man, how they are related to each other. So let's see what I mean. You'll go through the Gemara with me. Ach me'av lo miyeh. The woman says about the man that you're my brother from my father, but not a brother from my mother. who Balo Deim, and he is, this person that she's talking about, is her mother's husband at the same time. And I, this woman that is speaking, Vana Barato de Inse, and I'm his wife's daughter. Now, how is this all possible? It's a lot of strange relationships. Don't worry if you didn't understand this yet. I just said I would read it first, and then we'll see it. So how is this possible to have such a relationship? So Amar Rami Bar Chama, the lo Rabbi Yehuda de Masnisin. We're dealing over here that it can't be the case of Rabbi Yehuda Mishnah. What did Rabbi Yehuda Mishnah say? Rabbi Yehuda Mishnah forbade a son to go and marry his father's seduced woman, the woman that his father seduced. So let's look now in diagram number one. We have Yaakov. Yaakov is married to a regular wife, and she has a child. That's the thatched box child. And we're going to be speaking about that child. And Yaakov was ma'anes a woman. You see the line that says ones. And they have a daughter. That's the bas Yaakov. That's who is the one that's speaking this riddle. And she says, now let's go back to the riddle. She said, you are ach me'av. You are a paternal brother, right? They both share the same father, Yaakov, but they have two different mothers. So you and I are paternal brothers. And vuhu bala the aim. And you likewise are the husband of my mother, because the thatched box man went and married the seduced woman. And this, as we said, goes according to the Tanakhama and not according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't allow that marriage because a person isn't allowed to marry his father's seductress. But according to the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, you would. So this Bas Yaakov who's speaking says about her paternal brother, you married my mother. So who? Bala the aim. And I am Bana Brata, and I am the daughter of your wife. So you can hopefully see clearly from diagram number one, the riddle. Again, the three things that she says were paternal brothers, not maternal. Ach me'ab lo me'aim. Fu bala the aim. And then you went and married my mother, and I'm your wife's daughter. So that's what this Bas Yaakov is saying about this man that is her paternal brother. So this is the style of this Gemara. We're going to have seven cases like this. This is the first one. I hope it's easy to understand. Now we'll go to the second riddle. Now here, we're dealing again with an Issa relationship. So here we start using the term, the Ovi Kochavim was the person that did all of this illicit relationships. So the woman who's saying the riddle, she's saying this about this certain man, that you are Ahu, you're my brother, Ubrihu, and you are my son. Achase ana, and I'm your sister, the high Dorina Achasvoy, of the one that I'm carrying on my shoulder. What does this mean? So how could this possibly be? So the Gemara answers the riddle, Mishkachas lo ba'ovi kochavim abal bito. This is dealing with an ovi kochavim, and you can see this all in diagram number two, who, Rahman al-Islam, has an incestuous relationship with his daughter. And that daughter that he raped, the ovi kochavim had an incestuous relationship with the daughter, that daughter is the one that's speaking. Now, she had a child from this incestuous relationship with her own father. And that's the one that she's speaking about. That's the thatched box. Now, she says, Ahu, you're my brother, because they share the same father, right? He's a paternal brother. They both have the same father, the Ovi Kochavim. And Ubrihu, and yet you're my son, right? The son is the product of the incestuous relationship that she had with her father. And I carried you on my shoulders. You are the one that I carried on my shoulders. And I'm the sister of this child because they're sisters. She's the sister to this brother. The brother that's her son is also is her brother, and she's the sister of her son. So again, through this incestuous relationship, you can see that the one who's talking says this about the one who is in the thatched box, that you are both my paternal brother, and you're my son, and I carried you on my shoulders. And you are also, as we pointed out, they're siblings with each other. I'm your sister. Okay, that's the second puzzle. The third riddle is as follows. Shlomo loch b'ri basa chosichana. The woman says to the man that she's talking about, Shalom to you, and you are my son, and I am your sister's daughter. Again, what case are we talking about? So, diagram number three. Mishkachas lo, this can occur, b'ovi kochavim abal bas bito. A guy who had relations with his granddaughter, his bas bito. So, he was ma'anes, his granddaughter, through his daughter. You can see this in diagram number three, and the one that's speaking is this granddaughter. And through this incestuous relationship with the grandfather, with the granddaughter, they had a son, and that's the one that we're talking about. He's the thatched box. So this granddaughter is speaking about her son, who is Bri. That's her son. And she says, you are my son, Bri, and bas achosich, and you are the daughter of your paternal sister, right? Their brother and sister, they had the same father, this Ovi Kochavim grandfather, so he's the father of the thatched box son, and he's the grandfather of the woman, the granddaughter that he raped, and they're saying, we have the same father, so therefore, we are paternal sister and brother. So that's the answer to riddle number three. Riddle number four, Daloi de Dalu Davlo. This is just an expression saying that people that go to the well and to draw the water, so while they're waiting at the well to draw the water, they ask each other riddles. That's the way Rashi understands this. They would ask the following riddle to those people. Tosa says it's talking about the Chachamim. It's not talking. It brings down the Aruch. It says, Pirish Chachamim, Doli Maimi Boris Amukim. The Chachamim were drawing up the waters from the depths of Torah. So they're able to understand all of this with Chachma. In any event, the fourth riddle is follows. You can follow this along in diagram number four. He says, Lipo b'chu seisa pesa. Let this riddle fall amongst you and try to figure it out. What is the riddle? Dahai de doreno hubar vianoa baras achua. This child that I carry is my son, and I'm also his brother's daughter. So again, what are we talking about over here? So the Gemara answers, Mishkachas law, we're dealing over here with an Ove Kochavim, Habo Albas Bino. It's almost the exact same case as number three, except here, instead of it being his daughter's daughter, it's his son's daughter. It's exactly the same case, except that we're dealing here with the daughter's daughter in case three, and the son's daughter in case four. Otherwise, it's the same. The grandfather rapes the granddaughter through the son. They have a son themselves. That's the thatched box. And she calls him, you are my son, Bar. And you're also Brat Achui. You're the daughter of your paternal brother, because you and I are paternal brothers. So three and four are very, very similar cases. Now we go to case number five. Baya, baya, ayayi. That's the start of this riddle. Me'och. Now, this is a much more complicated case. We'll have a whole bunch of scenarios that we have to go through. So I'm just going to read the words right now. Me'och v'av, because of my brother, who is my father. V'ubal, he's also my husband. V'ubarbal, he's also my husband's son. V'ubalo de'em, he's also my mother's husband. V'ano b'rato d'itse, and I'm the daughter of his wife. V'lo yod pita, and he won't give, this guy is stingy, he won't give bread, lachua yasme b'nei brate. He gives no bread to his orphan brothers, who are the sons of his own daughter's children. Whoa, what does this have? So here we're dealing with Mishkachas law, the Ovi Kochavim, this is diagram number five, the Ovi Kochavim in the middle is the thatched box, that's the one that we're talking about over here, and the daughter, we'll see, that he has through raping his own mother, is the one that's speaking. So, Mishkachas lo be'ovi kochavim, habo alimo, the ovi kochavim, the thatched box man, has onus number one, as you see in my diagram, where he goes and rapes his own mother, he assaults his own mother, and they have a child. And they have the bas, that's the one that we're talking about. Volubinu bas, she's the one that's speaking this riddle. So, in other words, in this situation, he has a daughter with his own mother. So the daughter that he has is also his sister, because they both share the same mother. Okay? V'chazar, then he goes and has onus number two, u'bo'al o'sabas. He then rapes his own daughter, and therefore he is like her husband. That will be another part of the riddle. So his own daughter, he's also her husband. And then we have another rape, v'chazar zokin, his own father, the guy's father, he called zokin over here, also goes and rapes the Ovi Kochavim's daughter that he had had, the bas that he had had by raping his own mother. So the Zokin rapes his granddaughter through his son, and they have children. That's the Banim Yisomim. So because the Zokin of all level, holy men are Banim. These are the Banim Yisomim that we're referring to. So here, now let's go through what we had said. Ochi, the daughter is the maternal brother to her own father, right? They share the same mother. The Ovi Kochavim has the same mother as the bas, because he raped his mother. Then we have number two. She is his father. The Ovi Kochavim is the father of the bas. Number three, she's also her husband because he raped her. So they're like husband and wife. So the Ovi Kochavim is also his daughter's husband. And Bar Baal, because he is the son of her husband, because the Zokin raped her. So he's the son of her own husband. Her father is also a stepson of hers. Bar Baal, the son of her husband, because he was Ma'aniser, the grandfather's Ma'aniser. Then we have Baal De'aim. He is also the husband of her mother, right? He had raped his own mother, so he's the husband of her own mother, which makes her also Brato Disse. She's the daughter of his wife, which is her mother. And then finally, they had, through the grandfather, children, Ahua Yasme B'nei Brate. And you don't take mercy on your paternal brother's children because they have the same father. The Ovid Kol Chavim has the father, the Zokain, and the Yisomim, the bottom Yisomim that we have diagrammed over here, also have the Zokain as the father. So you're not taking mercy on your own paternal brothers. That's riddle number 5. That was a tough one. Okay. We have the next one where it says as follows. At Ano v'at achai. You and I are both siblings. Ano v'yavuach achai. Your father and I are siblings. And Ano v'yimech achai. And your mother and I are siblings. How is this all possible? So this is diagram number 6. The Gemara says, Mishkachas lo b'yovdik chavim. This is dealing over here with the Yovdik chavim. Now by accent, I made the thatched box the Yovdik chavim. It shouldn't be. The thatched box should only be the other thatched box that I have. Ignore the thatched box part about the Yovdik chavim. So, we're dealing here with the following scenario. Ovi Kochavim Abal Imo. Again, we have the Ovi Kochavim that raped his own mother and had two daughters from that rape. The holy men are Shtebanos. We have the two daughters. One daughter is without the dot, and the other daughter is with the dot. That's the daughter that's speaking this riddle out about the other thatch box. Not about her father, but about the other thatch box, which we'll get to in a moment. So, again, the Ovi Chacham raped his own mother, had the two daughters over here, both men and shtei banos. The Chazar ubal achas mihen, and then this Ovi Chacham raped his own daughter, not the daughter that we're dealing with who's speaking, the daughter with the dot, but the other daughter, and they had a child. And that child is a thatch box child. And that's what we're talking about. Beholid mimeno ben, the koriole, and now the woman, the dot, the woman, the daughter with the dot inside her, says about this thatched box child the following. She says to him, Vakariole, she says to him, Achose de ima, I am the sister of your mother. Again, as you can see in the diagram, the sisters over here, the one that's speaking with the dot inside of her, is the sister of the mother of the thatched box son. And she's the one that's telling him the three statements. The Anav at Achi, you and I are paternal brother and sister, right? They share the same father. The Ovi Kochavim is the father of the sister with the dot and is the father of the sister without the dot, who is the mother of the thatched box son. So your mother and I are sisters, she tells to the thatched box son. And Ana v'yavuch b'nei achi. And your father and I are brothers. Again, the Ovi Kochavim is the brother of the sister with the dot inside of her because they share the same mother. He raped his mother, the Ovi Kochavim, and they share the same mother. So therefore, we are maternal brother and sister. And finally, Ana v'imach b'nei achi. And finally, I and your mother are children of the same parents as well. So that's riddle number 6. Now we go to the second handout, where we'll have riddle number 7. And this one is as follows. Ano v'at b'nei ache, you and I are children of siblings. Ano v'yavuch b'nei ache, your father and I, we also are children of siblings. And ano v'imach, your mother and I, are also the children of siblings. How is this case possible? So the more answers, and here we look at my diagram number 7, which is in the second handout. Here, we don't have to be dealing with the Ovi Kochavim doing Averos, because this is actually able to be done with all legitimate relationships. And we see this in diagram number 7. How is this possible? Kigon, there are three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, who are the children of Yaakov. Kigon, Reuven, Sheesh lo shtei banos. So, as you see in the diagram, Yaakov was married, had three children, three nice sons, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, all legitimate. Reuven goes and gets married to somebody, and he has two daughters. Very well. You can see this in the diagram. Then what happens? So his brother, for also Shimon, the brother goes and marries his niece, one of Reuven's daughters, which, as we mentioned many times in this Masechta, was something that they used to do all the time in those days. It was actually a preferred marriage, heter gomer, for an uncle to marry his niece. For the nephew to marry the aunt, that's an isser, but for the uncle to marry the niece is perfectly permissible and actually was recommended in those days. Fine. So Shimon marries Reuven's daughter, and they have a son, Berei de Shimon, and he's the one that's speaking in this riddle. Fine. Then you have, after Shimon goes and marries the niece, so also Bar Levi, meanwhile Levi had gotten married to somebody, had a son, and that son, Levi's son, goes and marries his first cousin, Reuven's other daughter, Hefter Gomer. Again, we wouldn't do this today because of genetic potential problems, but certainly is a mutter relationship. So Levi's son marries Reuven's daughter, Mazel Tov, and they have a son. This is called Bar Berei de Levi. This is the grandson of Levi. And he's the one who Debrei Shimon, the son of Shimon, is talking to the grandson of Levi. And he says as follows, Yosef Bar Levi, Nosif Chod Minayu, Chad Minayu. And we have the following statement that Debrei de Shimon says to the Bar Berei de Levi. The Karmelei Berei de Shimon, the Bar Berei de Levi, he says as follows, and that's what we had before, Ano v'at bnei achi. You and I are the sons of two sisters. Which two sisters? These are the two daughters of Reuven. The Berei de Shimon is the son of the first daughter of Reuven, and the Bar Berei de Levi is the son of the second daughter of Reuven. Oh, so we are both, we're both the children of two sisters. Fine. Now, we also are Ano v'yavuch. I and your father, right? The Berei de Shimon says, I and your father, in other words, Bar Berei de Levi's father, which is Levi's son, we are the sons of brothers, right? They both are the sons of brothers. The Berei de Shimon is the son of Shimon, and the Berei de Levi is the son of Levi. So they're the sons of two brothers. And finally, Ano v'imach, Berei de Shimon says, I and your mother are B'nei Shnei Achim. I am the son of Shimon, and your mother is the daughter of Reuven. So we both have parents that are brothers. I have my father Shimon, and your mother, her father is Reuven. So that's how you answer the seventh and final riddle. Again, this is a Gemara that was a riddle Gemara, which, as we explained at the beginning, was to sharpen people's minds, and we now go weiter to the next Mishnah. And the Mishnah begins and tells us, HaGiyores Shinis Kairo Baneaima, a woman who was a Gioris, and her children, who were already born, converted with her. And we have the famous rule, Gerish and Iskai, Kakotchit and all that dummy, so therefore, none of these people are technically related to each other. Biologically, they certainly are, but from a halachi point of view, they're not related to each other. And therefore, Lo Holtzin, Velo Miyabnin. Her two sons are converted with her, they're unrelated to each other, and if one of the children got married and they didn't have children, so the other brother, who's his biological brother, is not halachically related to him, he doesn't undergo chalitza or yibam. And this is true, the Mishnah says, afilu harasu shel rishon shelo bikdusha, v'leidaso bikdusha, v'asheni harasu v'leidaso bikdusha. The same thing would apply even if the two children, one was conceived, the mother conceived him while they were still all goyim, then she converted, so the first child is born b'kedusha, and the second child is conceived and born b'kedusha after the conversion. And nevertheless, the same halach would apply in this situation that you don't have chalitza or yibam. Now, v'chein shivcha shenishtachu b'nei ima, the same halach would apply if a woman who was a shivcha kinanis converted, and she had sons as well, that were biological sons, but they were freed with her, so this is considered also Gerish Niskaya Kikot Shnola Domi. A Gerish Nishtachre is Kikotin Shnola Domi. Now, the Gemara starts off and explains this a little bit more. B'nei Yudan, the children of Yudan, who was Amsa, who was a slave woman, the children of this slave woman, Ishtachre, were freed. So, as we said, they're not related to each other. So, Sharulu Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Leminsav Nishay Da Dadi. So, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov permitted the wife of one of the slave woman's children, after her husband passed away, to go and marry, even though it wasn't a situation of Yibam, to go marry the other slave woman's son, because they're not halachically considered brothers to each other, because their mother is not considered to have been married. She was a slave woman, and therefore the children are considered totally unrelated to each other when they're freed. That's what Rav Acha Bar Yaakov paskened. Amalei Rav said, Rav Sheshi said that it's not allowed. So Amalei, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said, who asr? Rav Sheshi says it's asr. But I say it's permitted. You can't bring me a raya from an Amora who disagrees with me. I disagree with him. Now, What's the machlokas between Rav Chaim Yaakov and Rav Sheshes? So the Gemara says, Mino av velo mino ein. If the brothers had the same father while they were goyim, but not the same mother, so then everybody agrees, kuli amal lo pligi d'shari. Everybody agrees that they are not considered brothers with each other once they convert, and in fact they could marry each other's wives after there was a divorce or there was a death, because everybody knows that by the goyim there is no concept of paternity. Min o'aim, everybody also agrees, Rav Achav Yaakov and Rav Sheshes agree that if they had the same mother, below min o'av, but they didn't have the same father, so then kul yamal obligi, the asr. Then everybody would agree that it would be asr for them to go and marry each other's wives if there was a divorce or a death, because in that situation, they definitely had the same mother. And they have the same mother, there's a real isr over here to marry your maternal brother's wife. So there's not a even potential even there at all. So it's always asr. It's always going to be eishasach shalom b'moch mitzvah. So where does Rav Achav Yaakov and Rav Sheshes have the machlokas? Ki pligi min av min oem. If they actually have the same paternal and maternal brothers, they both have the same mother and father. So how do we view this? So Rav Achav Yaakov says, we look at it from the paternal point of view, and everybody says, by the goyim, there is no paternity. Man desharei basar avo shadinan. So the fact that there's a mother there is ignored, so to say, by the populace, and everybody's going to say, no, they have clearly goyish fathers, and therefore, by the goyim, by definition, there isn't going to be paternity because they're normally not so medakdek to only have relations with their own wives. And therefore, in this situation, they would be permitted to each other because there's no chashash. People are going to say that there's no chashash that they're really brothers, and therefore they could marry their brother's wife. And we ignore the fact that they have the same mother because we focus on the father. As the Gemara says, the Ha'a b'nei planya karlu, they're known as the sons of so-and-so, their father, and therefore there's a presumption over here that they don't have the same paternity, and therefore they could marry each other's wives. As opposed to Rav Sheshes, what does he say? Rav Sheshes, karlu le nami b'nei plonis. He says, wait a second, people aren't going to ignore the fact that they have the same mother, and by the mother, we do know maternity for certain, because the baby comes out, we know who the mother is, and therefore in that situation, there's an issue of eishes ach. That's the first version of the machlokas, Rav Achav Yaakov and Rav Sheshes. Vika the Amar, again, some of the gears of the Ika the Amre. Again, in this Masechta, we often have Ika the Amar instead of Ika the Amre. In any event, it says Ika the Amar, there are those that say that Poli Rav Achav Bar Yaakov afilu bi'achim in o'aim, that Rav Achav Bar Yaakov disagrees even in the case of where they have only the same mother. And he says, in that situation, they're also allowed to marry each other's wives. Why? Umaytaima, Gershim Iskaya, Kikotchen Lodomi, because they aren't halachically related. Yes, they're biologically related, and everybody knows that, but everybody also knows the din of Gerish and Iskai, Kikot Shalom Adami, and therefore nobody's going to mistakenly say, because they can marry their brother's wives, that under normal situations, a Yid is allowed to marry his maternal brother's wife. Nobody's going to make that takola, because everybody knows Gerish and Iskai, Kikot Shalom Adami. Now the Gemara is going to question Rav Achav Yaakov. Tonight we learned in our Mishnah, Hagioris Shinizgai Rubonel Ima, our case, Lo Choltav Lo Miyabim, says that there's no requirement of Chalitza Yibim. My time, what does that mean? Lab Mishum De'asir, there's no requirement of Chalitza Yibim, because it's also to have Yibim Chalitza, because Eishesach is also. So that contradicts what Rav Achav Yaakov said. He says, no, it doesn't mean that it's also. It means that the Ein of the Torah is Chalitza Yibim, that there is no din of Chalitza Yibim. However, if they wish to, they're allowed to marry. V'shari Le'alma, Vinu Namisho. Just like they have no requirement of Yibum Chalitza, and they're free to marry anybody, so too. They're free to marry their own brother, is allowed to go marry his brother's wife in this situation, V'shayil Alma, V'inu Nami Sharu, and they can also marry. That's the way Rav Achav Yaakov would learn our Mishnah. Ayur says, but we had the word in the second part of the Mishnah, V'oktoni Afilu, where we gave the case where we said that the first child was conceived not B'kdusha, but was born B'kdusha, and the second child was born and conceived B'kdusha. And we said, in that situation, Vafilu, the same din applies. Now, if you're telling me that the first way we learned it is correct, that it's also to have Yibim Chalitza, and it's certainly also to have a relationship outside of Yibim Chalitza, now we understand why it says Afilu. Even in the case where you might have thought that Yibum Chalitza should apply when they both were born B'kdusha, albeit one was not conceived B'kdusha, the Afal Gav, the Rishon, or Rosh, B'kdusha, V'leidos B'kdusha, V'asheni, or Rosh, V'leidos B'kdusha, U'kishtei Yimoz Domu, and they certainly have two same mothers, so Afilu Hachi, even in that situation, Asiru, we said that they're Aser, so certainly, then they're dealing okay with a case where it's aser, because it's aser to have Yibum Chalitza, and certainly aser to have relations outside of Yibum Chalitza. But That's only if you say the word afilu goes like Rav Sheshes. But if you're saying like Rav Achav or Yaakov, Eliyam or Sharu, that it says those only there's no chiyuv of Yibum Chalitza, but they're allowed to marry each other, so then what is the word afilu? The word afilu doesn't make any sense then. So Gemara says it does make sense. The Apple gav the Tavayu Lidasa Bikdusha, even though in the second case, where both of them were born Bikdusha, but also Lichluf and Bisrael, and there's the potential that people will say, hey, listen, if they're allowed to go and marry their brothers, so maybe a Yid can go marry his maternal brother's wife as well. Afilu Hachi Shari. So the Chiddush is no, it's only Yibum Chalitza that aren't there, but it's permissible. So that's the Chiddush, according to Rav Achav Yaakov, of Afilu. Ika d'amrei, an alternative version. Here we have the word d'amrei spelled out. Ika d'amrei, hochinami mistavra d'sharu. That Rav Achav bar Yaakov makes very good sense because it learns it the following way. D'ktani afilu, it says the word afilu. Now, it works very well to me. Iyamris b'shalom b'sharu, if you're saying that it's only Yibum Chalitza that's not allowed, but they're allowed to go and marry outside of Yibum Chalitza, hainu d'ktani afilu. Oh, that's why the afilu is necessary to teach us that. The Abba got the Tavayelei Dasa Mikdusha, even though they both were born Mikdusha, Dasa Lekhluv of Yisrael. Now, you might think that it could be confused with the case of Yisrael, and we shouldn't allow them to marry. Oh, the Chiddush is Afilu Achi Shari. Afilu, even in this situation, Shari. However, Eliyam is Asire, but you say like Rosh Hashanah, so then why does the word Afilu have anything to do? My Afilu. So Gemara says, no. The Alpha God, the Revision of Rosh Hashanah, Mikdusha, Velei Dasa Mikdusha, Vashenia Rosh Hashanah, Velei Dasa Mikdusha, the Chshei, Moz Dami, Rav Sheish would say, it looks like they're two separate mothers because they're not considered the children exactly the same. Nevertheless, Afilu Hachi Asiri, even there, not only is it no Yibum Chalitza, but they're not even allowed to marry with each other. So again, the two versions over here, we asked the question first on the first version, according to the question was fine to Rav Sheshes, and it's only a question of Rav Achav Yaakov. In the second version, we flipped it around and said it's fine according to Rav Achav Yaakov, and it's a kasha on Rav Sheshes, and the same way that we reconciled it the first way, and the second way, they're both the opposites of each other. Same conclusion in both. Toshma, now we try to bring a riot to Rav Sheshes. The following braisa says, Shnei Achim to Omim Gerim. If two twins are born, now twins are born clearly from the same father, right? Very, 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 very rare exceptions to that rule. But in general, if you have twins, we assume it's the same father and obviously the same mother. Shnei Achim to Omim Gerim. They are two Gerim, so they converted. V'chei Mishukharim. The same thing would apply if they were Mishukharim. So even in this situation, the braisa says, L'chotzim lo miyabim. There is no mitzvah of Yibim. Even though it's clear that they have the same father and the same mother, nevertheless, there's no mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza. And the Braisa says, and there is no prohibition if they were to go marry their brother's wife. Even though it's not B'mokum mitzvah, there is no such prohibition in this situation. Because they're considered Ger Shiniskaya Kikotri Shinola Dami, even though they're biologically clearly the same father and mother, but halachically we don't view this as because of the principle Ger Shiniskaya Kikotri Shinola Dami. And therefore, they're not Chayav Mishum Meshazach. However, if they were conceived when they weren't Jews yet, but they were born when they were converted, then there is no mitzvah Yibum Chalitza. However, in this situation, here, there would be a chiyuv of Eishes Ach. Because in this situation, and therefore you do have definitely maternal brothers, and therefore there's an Isser of Eishes Ach. As opposed to, if they were born as Goyim and then they converted, then there is no Issa either for the paternal or the maternal side. And certainly, if they were Gerim, and after they were Gerim, the mother and the father converted, then they conceived the children and they bore them, so then, certainly, then they're like regular Israel, Harein Ki Israel, and Cholderbe. Now, how is this a Raya to Rav Sheshes? Tony me is because we said, Ein Chayav Mishum Eishesach. So it says that they're not a chiyuv over here, Mishum Eishesach. That implies chiyuv aleka. There's no chiyuv. And we turn to Tzadiches Omud Aleph. But ha'yisurika, then it's forbidden. And that's like Rosh Hashanah and Akasha and Rav Achav Yaakov. So the word says, no. Hu adin, the afilu yisurin nami leka. This tells us that even the Isser isn't present over here. Why did you use the Lashon over here? Ein chayavim, implying that there's an Isser? No. There is no Yisr, because the boy missed the Sefer, Avu Chayavim, because the Sefer uses the Lashon of Chayiv, so here it uses the Lashon of Ein Chayavim, 29 Ratio, Ein Chayavim, but it means that it's not even an Yisr at all. This is a good break point. It was a tough shiur today. With this, we conclude today's shiur.